This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Hi ho, Kermit the Frog here, reporting live for the Hump Day Crew, going all green and all natural. Oh, very funny, guys. Yes.
The African dog has many aliases, including the hunting dog, the Cape hunting dog, and most recently it's been called the painted dog as well. Joining me on the line right now is the animal husbandry supervisor from Werribee Zoo, Devin Kroger. Thank you very much for your time today.
No worries.
The African hunting dog is quite an interesting animal, isn't it?
Oh, the African wild dog. Yes. Unfortunately, today it's a very endangered animal. It's one of the most endangered dog species in the world. Used to live once upon a time in large packs, but in eastern southern Africa now it's hard to find those large packs. They're in much smaller groups. The main threatening process for African wild dogs at the moment is disease, is that canine distemper has been passed on to these dogs by domestic dogs that maybe live in villages surrounding reserves and conservation areas.
So I believe there used to be 39 African countries that had a population of dogs in the past, and now it's down to about 6.
It's diminished considerably. The good thing for African wild dogs is that there's many conservation programs that's being supported both by zoos and other organisations, and certainly Werribee Zoo, in receiving dogs and having a new display, we're trying to promote African wild dog conservation through some of the work that we're doing in Kenya.
Okay, now I'll get you to tell me a little bit about what they get up to in nature first of all. Now I believe they normally eat things like they hunt antelope and warthog and zebra and that type of thing, and they're endurance runners.
They are. They're a species that can run many kilometres at around 55, 60 kilometres an hour, and basically what they do is they run their prey to exhaustion. And you may be talking about a pack of anywhere from 6 to say 15 dogs, and pretty much once they do get to their prey, everyone's grabbing a piece and going their separate ways, and it finishes something off fairly quickly.
Do they all, is there a hierarchy in there as well when it comes to feeding?
There is. Girls run the show as far as African wild dogs go. You'll always have a dominant bitch that'll be in charge of a pack, and very much so other females in the group need to fall into line as to respecting her position, and you'll often find that when they are younger animals, females in particular, they will migrate from group to group. But males, they're born into a group, they pretty much go with the flow. They might have an opportunity to rise to the lofty heights of an alpha male and get to mate with the alpha female we spoke about before. But very much so when we manage African wild dogs in captivity, and also this is what they look at in the wild when constructing groups, is that the female relationships are the most important.
Okay, and so in the group, there's the dominant male and the dominant bitch are the only ones that breed, is that correct?
Yep, that's correct. And standard gestational pregnancy is about 63 days for African wild dogs, and they can have anywhere up to about 15 in a litter, so they can have a very large amount of puppies.
Now, there's a few animals that are like pack animals that tend to only have one couple that breed for the pack. What are the advantages to that? Is there any reason why they do that?
Another good example we hold here at Werribee Zoo is meerkats. And what it does, if you only have one pair breeding, is what it can do is it can form a lot of cohesion within the group, because all the other animals within the group assist in looking after those offspring, and so there's a lot of care for the offspring, and it also allows the group to not expand too quickly and live beyond their means, because many of these species such as African wild dogs and meerkats live in areas where food may not be available all of the time.
Now, they've got some interesting features as well. They've got these massive bowl-shaped ears and like a long tasseled tail. Do they use them for anything in particular?
Well, the ears, particularly their hearing, is quite acute. And they are a dog that, when we think about a dog, we think about dogs barking. They don't bark at all. They have a series of like high-pitched yelps. They do have an incredible vocal range, and certainly having the large ears helps not only with hearing and communicating with each other, but it's thought if you're living in a hot environment, having large ears and perhaps, you know, veins close to the surface, it can also help with heat dissipation.
Oh, okay. Now, you've got a new exhibit with them at the Werribee Zoo. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, the new exhibit actually opened today. We have 9 female African wild dogs that we received from Monarto Zoo in South Australia a week ago. It's an all-female group. There's a dominant female. Her name's Stripe. She's a 7-year-old, and then there's a 4-year-old and some 3-year-olds and a group of 2-year-olds. And so we're starting with a female group first, and in the new year we'll introduce the males into that group to form a breeding pack.
Are all the females related?
They are. Stripe is the mother, and the other 8 animals are the result of different litters.
Okay, and then the males you said you're introducing to next year and then hoping to breed them from there.
Yeah, potentially we'll start our breeding pack next year by introducing some males into that group.
Now tell me a little bit about what's been happening in Kenya.
With our project, Werribee Zoo supports Northern Rangelands Trust Project in northern Kenya, and we support a conservancy, a 45,000-hectare property called Malako Conservancy. And at this stage, we are in the early stages of supporting a African wild dog conservation project. This conservancy has many different species, but one of their most significant species is African wild dogs. And Zoos Victoria, and in particular Werribee Zoo, can provide funding for people such as rangers that are monitoring these animals with equipment or vehicles, and we can start doing some real conservation work in Africa.
And what's the long-term goal for the breeding pack that you'll have at Werribee Zoo?
The long-term goal for us is that we're maintaining, and in the zoo world we call it an insurance population,
okay,
just in case there is a dramatic population decline in Africa, that we do have the ability to reintroduce animals if necessary in the future.
And would that be fine after being in, you know, although Werribee is like an open range zoo, would they still survive okay in the wild, do you think?
There would have to be a rehabilitation process. So usually what happens for animals that go from a captive situation back to the wild, that there is a step, an introduction process that needs to occur for them, because it's not a given that animals can make that transition straight from captivity to the wild.
Well, Devin, thank you very much for your time today and telling us a little bit about the African wild dog.
No worries. Thanks for listening.
My pleasure. That is Devin Kroger talking about the African wild dog. Isn't that amazing that they used to be in 39 African countries and now only 6 of those countries hold significant numbers? It's amazing. We think of all the pandas and things like that we know are depleting, but even the African wild dog. Of course, you can get along to Werribee Open Range Zoo. They've got their new breeding pack of female. Well, they're not breeding yet because they're all female, but they will be when they introduce the males very, very soon. You can check that out as well. To find out all about all the 3 zoos in Melbourne, the best place to go to is zoo.org.au. You're on All Natural with Adam Barrelay.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.